science class. A negative and a negative creates what? What? God's negative and my negative in the flesh equals what? Nothing. Well, God's not negative. He can't be negative. Okay, so I'm already halfway there. I've already won. Okay, so what happens is when I take my negative, my no power, my no strength, and I come to the positive of his power, what is released? Power. A negative and a positive is positive. It's power. But when I come as a positive and I say, I'm going to figure this out. I've got this. I've got it together. And I try to do it in my own strength. What is a positive and a positive? Nothing. Nothing. No power. So God's not intimidated by our weakness. He's drawn to it. He loves it because it gives him an opportunity to show his power and his glory. And that's really what he's concerned with. Do you know that God is not so concerned with our comfort level or where we feel comfortable and how happy and joyful we are? He's concerned about his glory. And we relinquish control of that and realize in his glory there is great peace and there is great joy. It might not always look like we want it to look, but it is the truth. Amen. So power and love, the love that comes through him, the love that can only be shed abroad in our hearts because of the cross. He's given us that spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And the translation for sound mind literally means quiet. If you are like me, I am the proud owner of an overactive brain. My mind never stops. I am constantly thinking. Is anybody else like that? Processing, thinking, planning. You trying to figure it out, trying to strategize it out, thinking, sometimes worrying, if we're going to be honest, right? Your mind is always going. And that sound mind is something that God wants to give us, where we fully trust in him. We fully know that he's in control and he's got us. Amen? Amen. So I want to talk to you, especially you ladies today, but men, you know, this applies to everyone, but to you ladies, I don't know what season you're in right now. I can look across this room, and for as many seasons as there are probably seasons that are represented in this room. You may be in a very joyful and a very productive season of your life. That's a good place to be. That's a fun place to be. That's a coveted place to be, a joyful, productive place in your life where you have come through some things and you are watching your life be fruitful and magnify God and bring glory to him. You might be in that season, but you might be in a challenging season where it seems like every time you turn around, there's a new problem to solve. There's a new issue that needs attention. It's not crushing you, but it's just challenging and you're tired. That's what happens in our challenging seasons is we get weary. We get tired. It seems like every time we turn around, something broke down, something's messed up, something's gone wrong at work, somebody quit, you know, we got the wrong shift. It doesn't matter. It's like challenges. You might be in a season that is fearful, it's scary, it's unsure. You have just experienced a little shake up in your life, and you're not sure what's next. Maybe you just let go of a job you've had for a long time because you know God told you to, but you don't know what's next. And let me tell you something about God. Don't fear, because he loves to do things like a trapeze artist. He loves to ask you to let go of the bar and fly through the air, and you don't know that he's swinging out to meet you and grab you, but he is. It's those moments that you're like, I could free fall right to the ground, and he's never going to let you fall. But he does work that way. Can you say that? Many times we've been asked to release. We like to do the vines, don't we, to God's will. I'll let go of this when I can grab onto that. But that's not how God does it. He says, I'm swinging it toward you, let go and grab. Okay, that's how he does things. So it's okay. It's okay. Don't fear in those unsure times. You've got a steady God who knows exactly what's going on. And many of us miss the opportunities because we're afraid to jump. It's kind of like Indiana Jones, you know, when he jumps off the cliff because the enemy's coming behind him, and all of a sudden out of the ground comes this thing up and, you know, becomes a platform right underneath of him. That's kind of how God does things, and you can see it over and over again in his beloved sons and daughters and his word, that it took blind faith. So don't be scared if you're in an unsure and scary season of your life and you don't know what's next. You might be in a sorrow-filled season. Your heart might be crushed. Your heart might be heavy. You might not even know how to take your next breath. The sorrow and the grief overwhelm you. You might be in a season of opposition. And this is different than challenges. Opposition is a flagrant attack where you are being opposed on every side. These are the seasons that came to mind as I was praying for you all. And I want to encourage you, no matter what season you're in, you can still fan the flame of the gift of God inside of you. You can still stir that gift up, because that gift of salvation, and aside from salvation, he was talking practically to Timothy about the actual gifts that were in him, to teach, to plant churches, to preach. He was talking about that. Stir up that passion for the things that God has gifted you to do. So not only about our salvation, but about the practical gifts that God has put inside of us, we are wanting to be stirred up. So how do we fan the flame? Fan the flame, the gift of God. How do we fan that flame? I wrote down a few things that came to mind. One is based in the scripture, and it's just draw on your spiritual heritage. He referenced this grandmother and this mother for a reason, because they were a source. They've lived more life than Timothy had in the faith, and they could be a touchstone for him. They could be a mentor for him. Lean on or draw on your spiritual heritage, the lineage, the one that introduced you to God, the one that discipled you to him, the ones that corrected you and helped you grow in the faith. How you fan the flame is to draw on your spiritual heritage. And as I was studying, I thought to myself, well, what if you don't have one? What if you're like my grandmother and there was no spiritual heritage before? You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? If you don't have one, make one. Let it start with you, just like it did with my grandmother. I am so humbled by what God has done in my family, because it is only because the ones that came before set the way for us and paved the way, and they lived a life worthy of the call that was upon them. They didn't take us to church and say one thing and then do another. They lived the life, and they had no example before them. So if you don't have a spiritual heritage, you can make one. You can be one. The second way I think you can fan the flame to stir up the gift of God inside of you. How many times do you think you've been so passionate about something, but then things come and they press on your shoulder, they press on your spiritual gifting, they press on your mind, your heart, and you begin to lose hope. You don't want to engage anymore. You want to withdraw. Well, one way I have found is very practical, but it's to pray out loud. I've always prayed, but I have oftentimes prayed in my heart, in my mind. And I found a whole new level of power when I pray out loud. And I asked the Lord, why? Why is it so important to pray out loud? And this is what he showed me. Because spirits look for agreement. All spirits look for agreement. If somebody comes in this door and they're a gossiper, guess who they're going to be drawn to? Other gossipers. Because the minute they try to talk to Tammy Schools about something, their husband's an idiot, and you know, she's going to get that look on her face like, oh, I don't talk like that. And they're not going to find the agreement. Why don't we pray for him? Why don't you bring him? Oh, I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to trash him. You know, that spirit that looks for agreement. You come into a room and you need prayer. You know who you're going to be drawn to? An intercessor. Because that spirit of agreement spirits look for agreement. So here's what God told me. The reason it's important to pray out loud is because who lives inside of us? The mystery of the kingdom. Christ lives in us. So when we pray out loud, we are praying the words of the Father, when we pray according to his word and according to his will, his spirit inside of us is agreeing with our unrenewed mind. That's who needs to hear it. My unrenewed mind, who wants to do something else, needs to hear myself say what God is saying inside of me. Does that make sense? I know it's not very polished, but I'm telling you, there is an agreement that takes place in the spirit. When you speak out loud, when you hear your own self proclaim the goodness of God, the provision of God, the holiness and mighty power of God, when you hear your own self, your mind will come into submission. So it's important to pray out loud. It's important to cry out to God. I have found myself doing this a lot. Lamenting is what it's called. Lamenting is not the same thing as complaining. Complaining is surface and it's unproductive, but lamenting is productive. His prophets did it. They laid on the ground. They said, "Kill me right now. I can't take this anymore. Why do you hate me? Why do you turn against me?" They asked every question you could possibly ask in boldness to a father that they knew loved them and could hear them. Lamenting is getting down to the brass tacks. It's putting all the surface and the pretty things you want to say away, and lamenting is crying out to God. Every one of those men that cried out to God and lamented, you know what happened to them? God restored them. He restored their hope. He restored their hearts. He restored their drive and the fire that was inside of them. That's what God does when we just come to him and we're just honest about the situation. When we lament, when we cry out, when we give him all of the pain in our hearts, he meets us. He's drawn to it. We think he turns away. When are we going to learn that God is drawn to our weakness? God is drawn to our brokenness. I'm going to tell you right now, Walker Collins Morgan is my heart, as are all my children, but he's my son. And if I had given my son to die for any one of you for a specific reason, if I had given him to die for you so that you could, something silly, hold down a full-time job, if I had given him for you, you better believe. You better use it, because I didn't give the most precious thing to me in this world for you to forfeit your opportunity. So why do we think God is ashamed of us when we come with our sin and our mess and our junk and lamenting and crying out to him? He's drawn to it because he says, there it is. I apply the blood of Jesus to that. That situation that's broken, fallen apart, looks like it can never be restored, bring it. I gave my son for that, so I gladly will deal with that. When can we twist our minds around and stop isolating when we're hurting? Stop isolating when we're struggling and press in. Press into him. It is his joy to apply what happened on the cross to your life and to your situation. Aren't you glad? Can you see it a little differently this morning? Can you see it a little differently next time you fail? Next time you have to come to him? Next time your heart is broken? So pray out loud, cry out to him. The next way we can fan that flame inside of us, the gift of God, his salvation inside of us, is worship. Worship. You know what worship does? Kind of the same thing as when we pray out loud. It focuses our attention on God. The words that maybe we can't say are in that song that says it for us. And it affirms his character. How many of you have ever been blown away by a message that just changed your life? I know I have. Yes. How many of you have ever had your life or your perspective changed through a song? Me. Many, 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 many times. So I'm going to tell you that worship affirms his character, his person, and often his word. So when you don't know what to say, it's being said for you. And again, that spirit agrees. Worship is a way to fan that flame. That song, New Wine, that we sang this morning, so personal to me, because I was literally in bed in a sleep room at Levine Children's Hospital, the lowest moment of our lives. Kinsey had just suffered a stroke. And I remember that song came on, and I'm like, God, whatever you're doing, I want you to do it. You're making new wine, however you choose to do that, your business, but make me a vessel. Don't let this crush me to the point I can't be used anymore. Let it crush me to the point where your spirit and your presence can be released from my life. The crushing is not the goal. The new wine is the goal. The fresh new wine that you can only get if you've been through that situation. That's the only thing. Worship, that song changed my perspective in that moment. And I felt his presence. Another way to fan the flame is to meditate on his word. And I love this because it's simple, but we make it so hard. Meditate on his word when? Day and night, night and day. That's all the time. Meditate on his word. And I'm going to tell you, I think the most effective way to meditate on God's word is to take a little piece of it and chew on it all day. Right? Just a little piece. Just one scripture. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So when you're sitting at work and you missed a deadline and you know your boss is stressed out and you can feel the tension, you say to yourself, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Quiet down. Quiet down. He's got the answer. He's got the way. That meditation comes back all day long for us. How many of you have ever worried about anything? Raise your hands so we can all feel in good company. Have you ever worried about anything? I have great news for you. If you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. And that's what God showed me. And I'm telling you, I've been a worrier my whole life. Till I was well into adulthood, probably the last 6 years of my life, I'm finally starting to get it. But a worrier, because I'm a problem solver, because I'm a fixer, because I love peace and I love order. So when things are out of order, I got to fix it, got to make it right, got to help God out. So I worried a lot about things I couldn't control. And one thing my daughter and I, we're talking about this week. If you're new and you don't know, this is my daughter right here, my precious son-in-law. We lost our daughter in December to a long battle with a heart condition. And we were talking this week about it and just talking about different things. And she said to me, Mom, there's part of me that wishes that if I could go back, I worried so much. And if I would have known that, okay, she's everything we worried about, guess what? It happened. It happened. My worst fear, the thing I worried about for 20 years, on December 10th, 2018, it happened. But guess what? Nothing, no amount of worrying the 20 previous years would have changed anything. Wouldn't have changed, and it didn't change anything. That was the most glorious day for her, that God said, your battle's over. That was a precious day that God came for her and took her home, and nothing could have changed that, nothing. It was his plan from the beginning. So the only regret I have is like her, I just wish I would have not worried as much and just enjoyed, and we did. We had incredible years with her and no regrets that way, but I just wish I wouldn't have worried so much. So if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate on his word. Worry is the negative thoughts, but meditation are the positive thoughts, and not positive thoughts that are not based in his word. Who God is, who he said he would be to you, what his word says about your situation. When you meditate, you remember your past victories and you imagine your future ones. When you begin to worry about a situation, you are focused on, it's myopic. It's that one thing that you are focused on. But when you meditate, it opens up to your mind to look back. Wait a minute. I've had my back up against the wall before, but God did this. But God rescued me. But God showed me this. But God came and restored. But God healed. Whatever your story is, you can look back and see your past victories. And what that does is help you imagine your future ones. And that's right where God wants you, because there's nothing but victory in Christ. How can you say that? You prayed for healing and that your daughter died. I can say that because I look back on every post I ever wrote, and I prayed over and over again, God, let her leave this hospital fully healed. Let her leave this hospital whole, restored, no more procedures, no more sickness. And she did. And it was certainly not the way this mama wanted it. Not with a gurney with a sheet over her precious, sweet body. That's not the way I wanted it. But you know what? She's healed. And I won't ever have to do this again for her, with her. God rescued her. He delivered her. When you can imagine what your future will look like based on your past victories, it's fuel. Have you ever been fueled? It is like pouring gasoline on that flame and the fire. When you start reminding them, oh yeah, but remember that time I didn't have a car, Miss Donna, and God gave me a car? Remember the time my marriage looked like it was going to fall apart, but God restored it? Remember that time my kid was going crazy, but then they found Christ? Do you remember? When you start remembering the goodness of God, it is fuel on the fire of your soul, and the enemy doesn't like it. It's too hot in the kitchen, and he gets out. Okay? So no matter where you are, or what season you're in, you can fan the flame. If you're joyful and productive, if you're in a challenging season, if you're in an unsure season, if you're sorrow-filled, or if you're facing opposition, you can fan the flame with these principles that God has given us. And it only takes a little oxygen, just a little oxygen, to make that flame burn brighter. That's what God wants. If all you have inside of you is, give it to him. Exhale. Let him use that to stir up that gift in you. God has something for you to do, sir. God has something for you to do, ma'am. God has something for every single one of us to do. Our gifts are not just so we can make money and live well. Our gifts are to serve the kingdom too. And ask him how. Ask him how on the very job that you despise. How can you use me for your kingdom? We don't just do kingdom work in here or with Raise You Up out on the street. We do kingdom work every day. You do kingdom work when someone cuts you off, when someone steps in front of you, when someone took your shift and your job. You do kingdom work every day. Every day we function in the kingdom. We're his ambassadors. So ask God this morning, would you just take a look inside and just ask him, God, what has become mundane to me? Help me fan that flame. Moms, it is a full-time job to have children. It is a full-time job to love them, to mentor them, to pour into them, to organize your family, to love your family, to spiritually feed your family. It's a full-time job. But God wants to come alongside of you. You are not alone. When you feel burned out, fan the flame. Fan the flame. Do these things that we've talked about. Pray out loud. Cry out to God. Draw on that spiritual heritage. And let me tell you, don't just go to anybody. I've said this before. If you're having trouble in your marriage, don't call your aunt who's been divorced 5 times. Call your grandma who's been married 50 years. You know, be smart about who you tap into for your spiritual heritage. We've all got them. You know, the family tree is colorful. But I'm just saying, be careful and be wise who you choose. But do these things. And I promise you, when you fan the flame of God inside of you, it will burn not only for your passion for the gift that God put inside of you, but for others to see. Who wants to be around a Christian who is consumed by everything but God? Who wears worry on their forehead and pain and agony along the way. What's that song, pain and agony and doom and despair? Gloom, yes, yes. That's it, agony, gloom and despair. And I don't want to be around those Christians who are just waiting for God to come back. It is miserable down here. We just can't wait to fly away. Praise God. God's got work for us to do, and he wants us to fan that flame inside of us, and we are responsible for it. But what I want you to feel is, oh, great, we're so burned out already. Now you're just telling us we got to do it. All you have to do is fan it. The Holy Spirit will build it up into all you have to do is be mindful of it. That's what it is. You lose your mindfulness of your spirit and the gifts that God has put inside of you. And he's just asking you, be careful to fan that flame. So would you stand this morning? I just wonder if there's some people in the room, some moms in the room, that you it really hit home with you today, some men in the room, some dads, that I don't feel the passion that I used to. I don't feel the fire. I'm tired. I don't have any breath left in me. You don't understand what God has required of me. Oh, yes, I do. I had to do this week, and I told the Lord last night, I feel like I'm crawling to the fire. And all I got in me is, whoo, whoo, that's all I got. And he said, that's enough. That's enough. That's all you need. I got you. I know what I've required of you. I know what I've taken. I know what I've given. I've got you. All you need is, whoo, and that's enough oxygen. It's enough to fan that flame. So I just pray for you this morning. If you are overwhelmed, if you are tired, if you feel like your flame is just barely flickering, I just pray you would raise your hands and ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And so as you exhale this morning, feel his presence. And God, I pray for every person that is here, Lord. You gave us this wonderful promise through a lineage and a heritage that was passed down, God, that we still need to fan the flame. It's not enough. It's not enough. It wasn't enough for Timothy, for his grandmother and his mother to serve you. Paul warned him, be careful, son, and fan the flame. Keep it burning. Keep it alive. Stir up the gift within you. So I pray this morning, God, that every person in this room would feel your presence, that you would stir up the gift inside of them, God. Let us fan the flame as we feel your presence, God. You have called us to great and mighty things. And that doesn't mean speaking from a platform to 5,000 and 6,000 people. It means you've called us to great things to speak to our children of the goodness of God. To pour into our wives affirmation and peace. To honor and respect our husbands and give them strength to keep going. So God, I just pray upon every heart that we would feel your power and your strength today. Your presence, your sweet spirit that breathes on us, God. That we would receive it. We would not leave here downcast today. We would leave here with worship in our hearts. We would leave here with some tools in our belt to know what to do when we begin to worry, God. If we can worry, we can meditate. If we can worry, we can worship. If we can talk about it, we can sing about it. If we can talk about it, God, we can pray about it. So I pray that we would begin to turn to you only for our solutions, God, and that we would activate these things in our lives so that the good things that you have planned for us can be released and the enemy's plans will be sabotaged in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Did you enjoy that? I did. When I wasn't distracted by my grandson, I wrote and wrote and listened and listened. That was so good, Christine, very deep. You remember last week, I believe it was, I know it was in the last 2 weeks, I told you, when you start getting a picture of your battles, and that it is a planned victory. Everything you face, you'll actually run towards the battle like David did with that kind of faith. You're more prepared for the battle than you think you are if you're a child of God. Let me just throw this out there. Has anybody in this room ever been burned? Raise your hand if you've ever been burned. There's this little YouTube channel that I like to watch, and it's about a young guy. He's got all kinds of great ideas about survival. Sometimes we just need to know how to survive. One of the things that Christine said early on when we lost Kinsey is that she was just so broken. She said, nobody understands. And there's times when I need a word from God quick. There's sometimes I don't know what to say. Sometimes I just, the best thing I can do is just listen. But she said, nobody understands. And I knew God dropped a quick one on me. I said, honey, we don't understand. We can't ask somebody to understand something we don't even understand. But you're more ready for the fire than you realize. If you've ever been burned, this guy had this little metal container that he kept in his pouch wherever he went. And inside of it was a piece of char cloth. Any of you guys ever heard of char cloth? Char cloth is just simply a piece of material, cotton, that has been burned but not consumed. And the only thing that char cloth needs is just the smallest, I mean the tiniest ember to hit it. And then you fan it into flame. So if you've ever been burned, you're char cloth. Doesn't mean you're done. It means you're, some of you are getting it. You're ready for a battle at any time. The enemy thinks that you're just about done. You're more ready than you realize. All you need is a little spark. And then fan that. And immediately, almost immediately, you're right back where you need to be. Holding your ground. Holding fast. Verse 13 said, hold fast. Christine said, they're going to be ready to go to lunch. Don't preach them after I get through. Let them go. I looked at Michaela when she said, everybody stand. I said, she's trying to make friends. You know, this is like a historical moment. It's because y'all have never got out at five after. But verse 13 said to hold fast. Hold fast what? The word. In verse 14 it calls it that good thing. Talking about the word, that good thing, the word. Hold fast to it. You said something about being attacked and then being attacked on all sides. Billy, you've taught this thing about safety, I mean guns, and what's it called? CWP, what's that thing? Yeah. Don't mess with him. Don't mess with Rhonda either. She'll shoot you with a bow and arrow. You'll wish you had it shot you with a gun. But that thing is that they've got this rule about standing your ground. If you ever had to shoot somebody and you said that you were attacked, you know what the first thing they're going to ask you in a court of law is? Could you have ran? How about that? Out of all your options, could you have ran? You know how when you can run? It's when you're being attacked one way. When you're being attacked one way, you can always, you've got all kinds of run. But when you're being attacked on all sides, stand your ground. Hold fast to the word that you have. See that? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what Christine taught today. It's your word, God. Thank you, God, for the challenge of your word. Thank you for the knowledge of your word. Thank you for your word that consumes us. And when we forget everything else, we can hold fast to the word. When we're being attacked on all sides, we are more ready than the enemy realized. We're charred cloth. We've come through something. And what we've been through actually makes us blessed for what we're about to go into. God, let us just pillage and go back and let us take everything. Let us spoil the enemy from the last attack. Let us take all the goods into the next season, because there's fire on both sides. You said we go from glory to glory, your glory, your fire. We go from fire to fire. And you will show up and you will be consuming every time we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, thank you for your word. And Lord, we do give honor to the mothers in this room. Where would we be without you? And where would we be without them? We give you praise, God, today. Let your word be inside of us. Let it be what it is, alive, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've got something else coming up here, but let's put into practice what we learned this morning. Can you just lift your hands and sing this to him? Let's put worship on the front line right now, okay? Let's focus our hearts on him.
Oh, so make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Oh, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever.
Special for our moms. If you're a mom, would you remain standing? And if you're not, have a seat. Logan, can you help me? Will you grab that bag right there? Bring me one. And